it's my joy to introduce my friend, especially since I'm one of her biggest fans. Kelly has been married to Kyle for louder. Yes. Kelly, see, we're going to have to do this.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. Oh, that's going to freak me out. Okay. Kelly has been married to Kyle for 27 years, and they have been at Emmanuel for 22 years. They are blessed with two men and one teenage daughter. Both of her sons are attending UVA, and both are on Navy ROTC scholarships. Tyler is graduating next week, as well as commissioning into the Navy. Tristan is about to complete his first year at UVA. He will also commission when he's finished. Julia is a junior at Trinity, and she has begun her college visits, which means Kelly and Kyle are not going to be very far behind us with empty nesting, and I'll be there for you when that happens. Kelly is my voice of reason in my life. She's a very strong communicator and a natural leader. After all, she did go to the Naval Academy. So, and she also has been known to make grown men cry without even raising her voice at them.
She wanted to add that. She loves that part.
It's really true. It's true. She's being pretty scary.
But you can leave your kids with me. It's okay.
Kelly is one who occasionally is wrong, but is never uncertain. So if you need clarity about anything, she's your girl. She has literally talked me off an occasional cliff many times in my life, and so I am grateful for that. Kelly's perfect day would be one spent outside doing something physical, like hiking a mountain, probably, preferably with her family. Kelly also has the gift of hospitality and loves to open up her home to others. And one thing that I admire about her is that I see that most clearly in the way she loves to share her faith with others. She's been co-leading a neighborhood Bible study for years and drawing others to the Savior that she loves. Kelly is the truest of friends, and I don't know where I'd be without her.
Let me introduce you to Maureen. Maureen's been attending Emmanuel for 19 years. She's married to a great guy named David, with whom she has two grown boys who are actually men, but who will always be her boys. Nathaniel's an Army officer, and Wesley is a percussionist, graduating this week and heading to grad school. Maureen is the most nurturing, excited preschool teacher you will ever meet, and she delights in four-year-old hugs.
That's true.
One of the qualities I love most about her is her over-the-top expressiveness. And if you know her, you know what I'm talking about. If you know her just a bit, you'll never wonder where she stands on an issue. She doesn't even know what it means to hide your emotions. She's a full-blooded Irish, tempered by the Holy Spirit, with just a smidgen of sarcasm left over.
Maybe
I admire her love for the Lord and have seen her surrender her will and earnestly try to follow His time after time. If you are her friend, you have found a loyalty that is fierce. I am blessed to call her my friend.
So we thought we would tell you how we met. Kelly and I have a mutual friend named Judy, and Judy and I both arrived. Our husbands were both had orders to D.C., so we both arrived around the same time. So when we got here, Judy said, well, you have to be friends with my friend Kelly. And I said, well, okay, she's your friend. She can be my friend, sure. But little did I know that Judy would go on to move, but she left me Kelly, and I didn't even know then when I met her what a blessing that was going to be in my life. We even got to Emmanuel because of Kelly and Kyle, so we're really grateful for that. So you never know, one of your very best friends may actually come from a mutual friendship that's already existing in your life, so you never know what God will do.
You might think, as I've been tempted to think, that your close friends are just like you. But just like that's not true of our spouses, it's often not true of our good friends. And Maureen and I are very different. We've often laughed that had we known each other in high school, I'm not sure we would have been friends.
Probably not.
I think that I would have thought that she was not serious enough, and she would have thought I was too serious. But God had different plans. Our families were different, our interests were different, our goals were different, but God brings us together with people who are very different from us, I think for the sake of complementing each other and filling in our gaps, mm-hmm. and he has done that for us for a long time.
So you have asked us to talk about friendship, so we're going to try and focus on that and just kind of share what each other brings to our friendship. So what Kelly brings to the friendship for me is that she's a lot of fun. We rarely spend a time together where we are not at some point in the time incredibly belly laughing, including the drive over here tonight. Kelly is a planner. Like this talk, for example, we got together and we started brainstorming, and I, pretty much being the global person that I am, threw up all sorts of ideas on her and just, you know, let it all out there, and then she organized it all and planned it and put it all nice and neat for us to talk about. So she's definitely a planner. Even when her kids were younger, I remember one of her children would wake up in the morning and every day say, "Mommy, what are we doing today?" He got that from Kelly. She is adventurous, especially if it's physical. I have hiked and I have rode and I have walked a lot with her in my life. We have some of our favorite times have been on adventures together. So she's also a very committed and steadfast friend, and she's the calm to my enthusiasm.
What does Maureen bring to our friendship from my perspective? Well, Maureen is exceptionally nurturing. She's loyal. She's relationally very intentional. Even with some of you who are in Telios and other places, she makes a point of getting time with people. Quality time is her love language. My independence and military experience early in life meant that I didn't really have the typical college girlfriend experiences. Like, not even close. So when I went straight from active duty to motherhood, and I learned a lot about friendships with women. Not that I had no women friends, but they were all kind of doing what I was doing. I learned a lot through the friendships that God gave me in those early years. So this group of friends that we were in with our mutual friend Judy, I observed them doing life together, calling each other for no particular reason, pretty much every day. Maybe it was just for adult conversation, but just doing life together, hanging out together, and that was a gift. And Maureen has modeled that in a great way.
That's you, honey.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah.
So why do we need friendships? One reason we need friendships is to help each other keep Christ as our first love. All friends are a great gift, but those where Christ is the center, they're an even greater gift, if I can say that. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another." We're used to hearing that verse and thinking of it as a man verse, but it's not. It's for all of us, and it talks about how we're affected by those around us. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise." We've quoted that to our kids many times. Let's be honest, the people we keep conversation, or the conversations we have with the friends we're hanging out with, they do affect us. I mean, they may not change your opinion on a topic, but if the conversation is about the preschool a friend chose and why, the last book they read, a movie they saw, the new furniture they bought, whatever it is, it affects our thinking. If they're loving the Lord and growing in Him, it draws us to that same Savior, or it draws us in another direction. I don't mean one that's just off the wall, but it's either drawing us to the Lord or drawing us away from the Lord. So when those friends know the Lord, that encourages us and helps us to keep Christ as our first love. So we need friendships to encourage us to keep Christ first. And those friendships with believers are eternal. Bonus.
Makes me think of, if anyone was in church on Sunday, Jesse kind of talked about that 2 weeks ago, about friendships being eternal friendships. And I've often said that to my friends, or some of my friends are my forever friends. And what we get to do now as friends, we get to carry on to eternity together. And so, I don't know, that makes friendships even more special, I think. Another reason that we need friendships is because, let's be honest, life is hard, right? And it helps if we do it together. Not everyone has family nearby. I'm a Navy wife. I was until David retired. And so as a Navy wife, even like when we came here, I had to jump right in and I had to make new friends every couple of years. And I didn't have a lot of time to waste because we were only there for a couple of years at a time. So I would jump right in. But God in His goodness allowed those friends to become my family. And they really have. Some of those military friends are my family in a lot of ways, that it's closer than the family I was born into. We've done a lot of things, a lot of life, a lot of challenges, a lot of blessings. We've done deployments together. We've done births of our babies together. We've lost family together. We've potty trained together. I remember once when Kelly, when our kids were younger, Kelly brought her potty seat to Castle Park, which is the old spot for Emmanuel. If you're all looking for a cool park to go to, I don't even know if they allow people to go. We probably broke the rules by coming here, but it's a great castle, and our kids love to climb in that castle. We did a lot of picnics there, but Kelly brought the potty seat because she was determined to work on her potty training with one of her sons, so she'd open the van door and take care of business. So, but we've learned to laugh a lot, even in the hard times of life and in parenting, because you just need that. That's probably going to be a recurring theme you're going to hear about us. We do laugh a lot because life is hard, and we got to seek the good and the humor in it just to keep each other going. So, but we need friends that we can turn to for advice, for clarity, for comfort. Proverbs 19:20 says, "Get all the advice and instruction that you can, so you will be wise the rest of your life." And that's just a verse that has blessed me a lot about needing friends for that particular blessing. So, what else?
Another reason we need friendships is just for fun. We need it for encouragement. I believe God made us for community, and we find that community in friends. For practical reasons and for social and spiritual reasons. Practically, there were a couple of things that we did that I'm sure you are doing as well, that were lifelines, especially in the years that you are living. One was we take each other's kids for the weekend or whatever. On anniversaries, I usually had her kids, she had mine. You know, for whatever. I know there were a lot of times where we had kids at her house, you know, I mean, her kids at my house, ours, theirs, with people you trust and you can turn them over to, and you do need that time away with your husband alone from time to time, and you might want it for a conference or whatever. It is good to have someone who can do that for you. We also have been in the habit of going on girl weekends with this circle of five, Judy being the commandant, you know, the one who we met each other through. We've done that almost every year
of our married life.
Yeah. I wasn't in the mix while they were
overseas.
But
she got grandfathered in. It's good.
But it's, we've been, the five have been doing it, I don't know,
26 years.
A long time. So one is in Chicago, one's in Georgia, one's in California, and Maureen and I live here. And it takes effort, and it takes money, but it's so worth it. I mean, we can save for it. It's only once a year. We do it at our houses, so that makes it cheaper. It was hard, especially when the kids were young. It takes a lot of work to leave for a weekend or 4 days or whatever. But again, it was worth it. And you come home refreshed with low expectations about what the house looks like. And it was good. So we need community, and it's good to feed them. Socially, the infant and toddler years can be very challenging. One day you're a well-dressed professional who's going to work and using the degree that you earned. And maybe a year later you find yourself challenged to figure out how to get a shower before 10 and, you know, hearing Cheerios crunch beneath your feet as you cross the living room. And you begin to question your competence as a person and a homemaker. But having friends who are experiencing motherhood the same time you are helps you keep your sanity, and we all need that. It helps us to be better moms. It helps us laugh about the patheticness of a situation. And we all come through it, and it's all good. But we do need those friends for that sanity. Mm-hmm. And you won't always be walking across Cheerios to cross the room.
It's true.
So, how do we find real friendships? That's one of the questions that we surveyed out, and seems to be a concern for, I know it is for us through our years, but also for you. So how do we find real friendships? So the first thing that came to my mind is pray. Pray for God to give you friends. When I first got to Virginia, I had prayed for and asked God to bring me an older woman in my life. I had lost my mom about a year earlier, and I was just really longing for a mature woman in my life. And so I prayed. It took a few years, and I kept on praying. But God blessed me with a coworker who's become one of my dearest friends. She really has. She's brought richness to my life. She prays for my children. She prays with me. She prays for me. She's just, I know she's someone who I can really count on. And we, too, laugh a lot. We joke that we're twins separated by 20 years because we're so much alike. But she has been an answer to my prayer that I prayed for a long time. And in Titus 2, verses 4 through 5, it speaks about the blessing of having someone older in your lives. And it says, "Then you can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God." So ladies, how do you find them? I would encourage you, pray. Pray specifically. I believe that's important. I think God wants us to pray specifically, and then we can really see God's power in our life when he answers big and small things. So pray for a friend.
We're primarily talking tonight about friends who are peers, but like Maureen's co-worker, sometimes God gives us a friend who is not our age, which made us think about the mentors sitting at your tables. Mums does a great job of assigning those, and it's an interesting thing. We all agreed to do that because we wanted to minister to you in some way. We've got 20 years of life experience that you haven't gotten yet. Chronologically, that's what it is. And we don't have all the answers, but God has sure taught us a lot in 20 years. And so we just want to encourage you to initiate. We probably won't we might, but we don't want to put you in the awkward position of saying yes or no to coffee if maybe that's not what you're interested in. But if you are, that's what we're there for, and we would love to meet up with you for coffee, tea, playground, whatever. And no, we will not judge your living room or anything like that, because we have been there, done that, and we just really want to encourage you. So don't be afraid. Don't feel needy or embarrassed to reach out to the mentors at your table and holler at us. I'm sure there are things that are going on in your lives with kids or otherwise that we've experienced or we've gone through. So take a risk and initiate, and we'd love to respond.
That is one of the reasons I even asked to be a mentor years ago. Because I never forgot my preschool baby years. I never forgot that. And I was at a church that had a mom's group, and it blessed me so much that I just wanted to give back because I've never forgotten. This is a challenging time for you all. It's awesome and wonderful, and our kids are such a gift and a blessing, but it is hard, and it is lonely, and it is exhausting, and so your mentors are here because we want to be encouragements to you. We want to be available. We want you to know you can do it. We're living proof. You will survive. So we are here because we want to be. So we hope that you'll take advantage of us. That's a good taking advantage of. So another thing about how do we find a real friend, I would say be a friend. When you're frustrated that you don't have a friend or you're longing for one, be the friend that you want someone else to be. Scripture describes it this way in Colossians 3, 12 through 14. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So, be friendly. Be trustworthy. Give of your time and ask how they are doing. And listen. Really listen to your friend. That's a real virtue. That's a real true virtue, to just not let the world distract you, but just to be all in and listen. Offer help if someone needs it. That means that you have to leave margin on your plate. Years ago in Imams, Elena's mom, Tammy Schonmeyer, shared a visual with me that I have never forgotten. At Imams, she showed a paper plate and she started adding activities and commitments on top of the plate, and more and more, and soon there was no room left on the plate. And then life happens, and your paper plate is full. And what are you going to do? Someone needs you, but you have no margin. You've left no margin on your plate. So I would encourage you, ladies, leave room on your plate. Leave room for the unexpected, for the God moments, for the divine appointments that will happen. And that you could be a true friend for someone if you leave a little bit of margin on that plate. One of the best gifts we can give each other is the gift of our time. So push aside the toys and just let someone come sit on your messy couch and be a friend and listen and offer them the gift of your friendship. You?
Yep. So one of the questions that came up on those questions you guys submitted, a few of you, was how do you develop friends, like good friends, in this season of life when your kids and their schedules are all consuming? Good question. Not in the way you did before. I think you just end up doing life together. Truth is, Maureen and I spend a lot less time together now than we did when our kids were young, because we did playground and Bible study and whatever together. If you're looking to find women who, you know, you can develop those friendships with, just do life. Paint a room, organize a closet, go on a picnic, whatever. Let them see your mess. You can go see theirs and do life. I can't go on without mentioning that some of you are in a much more challenging position than others in this regard. If you are working full-time, or you're single, or both, then I want you to pat yourself on the back right now, because I don't know how you do it, and remind yourself that you're doing this job of momming with a lot more challenging circumstances, and it's hard. Way to go. You are juggling a lot, and you may not have the time or luxury of getting together with a mom on a Wednesday morning after Bible study, which is a gift, and if you have it, then enjoy it. If you don't, then I would just say the value of friendships is probably even greater, the need for those, to meet some of those needs for you. And it is going to be harder and more challenging, but being here is evidence that you are taking steps to do that. And I'd say give yourself grace, because you are, just like I said, juggling a lot. And it'll be worth it. I know it's possible. I know someone here at church who is a single mom who I greatly admire. She's good friends with a lot of people. She works full time, she parents, and she even serves regularly. She seems to make a priority of time with those friends and their kids, whose kids are the same age as hers, and they share life. And it looks like it's a great blessing to all of them. So it can be done.
So, how do we cultivate friendships that have depth and aren't superficial? Another question that was brought to us. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. In this fake, we like to call it fake book, Pinterest perfect world that is out there right now, we would just encourage you, don't be afraid to be vulnerable and open up with someone. And Mums is a perfect place for you to practice that. We pretty much never judge one another because of the struggles that we share. There's nothing new under the sun, ladies. And just trust me, if you open up and find a friend and open up with her, I'm sure that you can relate and that your friend would appreciate you just being real. Especially when it comes to this stage of mothering, I just want to get on a small little soapbox, forgive me. I would say, I just want to encourage you, as oftentimes it's talked about kids decreasing screen time, I would encourage you as moms to decrease your screen time, because the season of life goes so fast, so fast. And we don't want, necessarily, we don't necessarily have to share everything on social media. It's just sometimes less is more. So we would encourage you to be careful who you share with and how much you share out there. You know, that's, we think that to grow deep with a friend, you don't need to be on social media. You need to be face to face. You need to be right here with each other. And it's safe here. It's not safe necessarily all out there for too many people to know or see. I'm blessed with some ladies that I call my heart carriers who know me and they love me and they are here for me. They are the people for me that I'm willing to open up my heart and trust them with it. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice." And those are the ladies I go to that I can trust with my heart and be me. And I know they're not going to judge me or anything. They're just going to love on me. And they've walked the road of life with me for a lot of years. And so I'm grateful for them. Friendships that have depth for the believer is often centered on a shared faith. So trying to live out your faith in the world isn't always easy. It's not always clear. So how do we do it? Well, I would say first, be in the Word. Be in God's Word. However that looks for you right now. It's challenging in mothering. We get that. We get that. My time with the Lord did not look the way it does now when I was in your stage of mothering. So whether it's 10 minutes, great. You know, if it's leave your Bible open on the counter and just read it as you're wiping up the morning slop. or if it's in the car, listen to it in the car. If your child's taking a nap and you want to get some chores done, put some earbuds in, and listen to God's Word even as you're doing that. Grab it when you can, but be in the Word. Second, I would say hash out what that looks like with another like-minded woman who wants to do the same thing. I think this room is filled with them, and there's ladies at your table who I bet would be so encouraged if you would just be willing to hash it out together. Memorize scripture together. Be accountable for each other's quiet times. I strongly believe that we are meant to share life and accountability with one another. As sisters in Christ, I think that God's made us for that. I know that I do better in my time with the Lord and in my walk if I am in accountability with someone that I can trust. I just think God wants that for us. And so I'm thankful for the people who are my accountability partners. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." That's what my accountability gals do for me. They want to build me up, and I want to do the same for them. So find that. Also, I'd say pray for each other. I know that that sounds so simple, but sometimes we say really easily, "Oh, I'll pray for you. Oh, I'll pray about that." And then the day gets by, let's just be serious, and you think, you run into them the next Sunday and you think, did I even pray for that person? So there's some friends that I have committed to praying for, and I've put a reminder on my phone every morning at 7 o'clock. A name shows up on my phone to remind me to pray for my friend's child. And I do it every day because I'm a visual learner, and so that's there. So pray for one another.
And she does that well. She'll tell me who she prayed for. So what elements exist in our friendship that helps that happen? It's kind of some of what we've just talked about. Mm-hmm. Being vulnerable enables a friendship to go deeper. One of the primary elements in a friendship that allows you to do that is just honesty and vulnerability. Not the kind where you air your dirty laundry with the person you met at the playground necessarily. Too much information can shut down a friendship pretty quickly. But if you're growing in a relationship with a friend, share about your shortcomings, and they will probably reciprocate. If you are sharing about disappointment with kids or in their behavior, it communicates, "I trust you," and they will usually reciprocate. And like Maureen said, pray. There are a few close friends, hopefully, that we can all find who will be the ones who we turn to when, you know, we're going through something, our children are going through something, maybe not the kind of something that you want to broadcast to the whole Sunday school class, but you really want somebody praying with you. And maybe, I mean, there's been occasions when I'll say, okay, pray tonight, you know, at this moment, you know, or whatever. And she's faithful to do that. There have been many occasions when Maureen has been the one I turned to and asked to pray. Things I didn't share with the big group. I knew she'd be faithful to do it. There's been times when my kids were struggling or going through something, and I wanted more prayer power than just me and Kyle. And she would back us up and pray for those kids. And I have some good news and some bad news for you. The good news is that as time goes on and your kids get older, you are going to become wiser. The bad news is that you will need to be wiser. and that is the truth. So little people have little problems, we say, and bigger people have bigger ones. So it is great to have somebody who you can level with, share with, who will pray you and your kids through those times. And Maureen has done that. Yeah, when we share real life with friends, the friendships just go deeper.
True. Very true. So how can we do this in practical ways? How can we deepen the friendship in practical ways? First, for those of us with husbands, I would like to say that hopefully they're our best friends, but they shouldn't and they probably can't be all for us. There are times that my husband David actually asks me, what would Kelly or the girls say about that? I am grateful that he knows that they are friends I can trust with that. And so we need those relationships. And it is true, Kelly and I talk to each other probably almost every day, but we do not get together face to face as often as we wish we could. We actually had more time together when we were in your stage of life face-to-face than we do now. But I know that when I need Kelly, that she will drop everything and that she will be there for me, even for a walk in the rain. Once there was a hard time I was going through on my mothering, and I really needed to just walk and talk it out. And it happened to be pouring that day when I needed to do that, and Kelly didn't even mention the weather. She was just available, and she walked beside me, and she listened. And I'm so grateful for a friend who walks through life with me. Also, invest in each other's kids. I can't count how many times, like Kelly said, that we have taken each other's kids and to do dates or to do getaways, but Kelly's kids are very special parts of our family. And they have had a lot of fun in what they coined Fowlerland when they would come over to our house over the years. Even if I corrupted them with SpongeBob. her oldest Tyler, even came back to Fowlerland during his Easter break, where just to come see my sons. Both of my sons happened to be in town for Easter, and it had been a long time since they'd been together, and so Tyler came back to Fowlerland to see my boys. And it's sweet that my friendship with Kelly, growing up and doing life, has just trickled down into our boys having real sweet friendship of their own, and I'm grateful for that. So, also, I wanted to mention the blessing that my sons have had by Kelly's husband, Kyle, having him in their lives throughout their childhood. He has made eternal impacts into their manhood, and a truth we will discover as you raise your children is that we need other Christ-centered friends to speak truth into our children's lives. We just do. There's going to come a time in our parenting where they are going to just think we're a bit of white noise and not hear us. And so I have been really grateful for dear friends that have poured into my now men. It has served them well, and Kyle's one of those guys that have done that for my son. So lots of blessings.
It was called Fowlerland because there was a lot of sugar there.
Yes.
There was Pop'ems for breakfast.
Yes.
There was great video games, much better than at my house.
Yes.
And other good
stuff. And there was caffeine, where Tyler said, does this have caffeine in it? If it has caffeine, it is not good for me. I cannot have caffeine.
He was little, okay?
And I said, don't worry, I won't tell your mother. Just ever. He drinks caffeine now.
They're all okay now. So we wanted to make one point that we think is important. As in all areas of life, we have a tendency to compare. And I think sometimes you can look at a person in your Sunday school class or wherever, the extrovert who has 20 best friends. Actually, Judy, who introduced us, has 20 or 30 or 40 best friends. And you might have a tendency to feel inadequate or more lonely because some people have 20 best friends. But the truth is, we are all really different. And some people need and want and can do 20 best friends, and some need one or two. Some people want one, don't want 10, you know. So just be yourself. You will never, ever be somebody else as well as you are you. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, I think sometimes we can think, why is that person clicking with that person, but I'm not really clicking with them? Truth is, we don't click with everybody. Some people click with one person and you don't click with the next. And it's completely okay. You know, we are told to love one another, and it is okay if we're not clicking with everybody and becoming best buddies with everyone. It's just how it is, and that's okay. So give yourself grace there too. So we would like to give you a charge to try something new this summer, whatever is new to you. As you think about wherever you are, where you want to be with regard to friendships, work specifically on friendship, either friendships that you have or maybe developing new ones. There's a magnet on your table as a reminder. It says, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul, Proverbs 27:9. There's a number of ways to do that. Invite a friend to the pool. Invite a friend to coffee or out to coffee. If your husband can watch the kids, invite them to your house for coffee when it's messy. Call a friend at your table this summer. Maybe someone you've gotten to know or someone you really don't know. Call a mentor at your table or a mentor elsewhere and see if they want to help you figure out why this meltdown keeps occurring. If you see someone you think needs encouragement, call them. But do something this summer that's just out of your norm to either invest in the friendships you have or grow new ones, because we all need them. Do that this summer.
Okay. That's it?
That's it.
I'll close this in prayer, and then you can have more time at your tables talking more about friendships. So please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for tonight and for this special time that we can just pause and celebrate the gift of friendship, Lord. It is a gift from you, and we are grateful, Lord, for the people that you put into our lives and the friends that we have and the friends that we can be for others. I do thank you for moms and for the ladies around these tables, Lord, where I have seen friendships bloom and blossom and grow this year, and that is something to be praised. So we thank you for that, Lord. We pray that that would trickle into the summer, that we would not lose touch with each other, that we would be intentional, that we would call each other or get together, and that you would bless continuing friendships in this room, Lord. We do thank you that you have made us to be relational, and that it is something that we can glorify you in. So we thank you for that. We pray for the conversations around the table. We pray you bless them, and that you would receive glory from all that is said and done. And we thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name.